Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see us in church today. The Lord is good. Sorry? Yes, the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, so this is the sixth month of the year. And so far, I think we've done a good job reminding ourselves that we're in the promised land. Amen. You know, when you, I was remembering when that message started, and I didn't quite know if today would still be saying the same thing. But we have kept in tandem with what God is saying. Hallelujah. Yes. So we are still in the promised land. We don't have any plans of getting out. We have plans of staying. We have plans of progressing. We have plans of continuing and staying that course in the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Praise Jesus. How come we are so many today? Let us give a mighty hand clap to the worship team. Yes, we needed to keep up. If you had a cough, I'm sorry, but that tempo was just going on and on and on and on. So if you had a cough and you couldn't sing, or you reached somewhere and the key jams, those were yours. I think Teddy wasn't waiting for people. Yeah? Yes, but that was a good thing. Thank you so much, worship team. Hallelujah. Last week, we talked about or were reminded that God has good plans and thoughts concerning us. And we took our reading from Jeremiah 29:11. And in the NIV it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And in the NKJV, the same says, "I know the thoughts." NIV says plans, NKJV says thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And again, we were reminded that these plans, these thoughts that God has towards us, they are very good. And not only are they good, but they are better than our plans. And we're reminded also that God is a planner. So he starts the week with a plan. If you're in LAT and you start your week without a plan, I don't know. I don't know what you do. Or you start your day without a plan. But at least you should have a semblance of a plan of what you're going to do. If it is sleeping, it should be there. At least number two, sleep. Wake up, number one. Number two on your plan is to sleep. Number three is to wake up. At least that is a plan, okay? And so we're reminded that God is a planner. And from right the start of creation, you see God's plans. But most importantly, when you look at your life, you should be able to know and to trust that this is the plan of God. You could have got several things wrong along the way, but there are some things that you got right in the plan of the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we're also reminded that God's plans and purposes, his purposes must come to pass. That when God looks at your life, he has the future in mind. And because of that, God is not a reactive person. Like something happens today and it shocks him, and before you know it, there is something else. Thank God that he doesn't live like that. There are things that happen in our nation where you see maybe like one party reacts a certain way, or even amongst our friends or family, and the way they react has an adverse effect, to the point that you're like, I wish that person had thought before they reacted. So we have to be grateful that God, we don't have to say, had God thought Yeah? God already thought. And his purposes must come to pass. His purposes must prevail. And then we say that also, a purpose is the big thing that God has for you, the big thing. But the plan is the day-to-day strategy of execution. And sometimes the plan can change, but that purpose must prevail. God's purposes cannot be thwarted by you, by the devil, by your favorite man of God, by the worship leader, by your boss, anyone, by your mother-in-law. God's purpose says, father-in-law as well, God's purpose says must prevail, okay? And we also said, okay, I didn't say this, but even as I was thinking about everything about purposes, I remembered some guy who said, I think it was a joke, he was looking at someone who was doing like bungee jumping or jumping out of a plane, you know those things? And this gentleman said, I don't know what that is called, crazy things, but this gentleman, looking at the video, said, this one's ancestors, they are playing Ludo with his life. So you have to thank God that your ancestors are not playing Ludo with your life. The purposes of God are right in your life, and he cannot live. You know the things that people will tell you, and incidentally, these things are also true, that you know, when we're getting married, you say, oh, you know what? I love you. What? Your people become my people. Me, I love Sam. You cannot see, oh, me, I love John. But you cannot, at that point, oh, for people who have, let me stand here, for people who have just gotten married, yeah? You may not be able to, you may think, my husband is above that thing that I see in their family. But as you grow and mature in marriage, you realize that there is a certain uncle who may be a certain way. And then your husband, you start to see those things in your husband. And these things, by the way, in LAT, we are just going to talk about good things. Glory to God. That there is a prosperous uncle, and you get married to this guy, and somehow, somewhere, the prosperity thing is just going through the lineage, and then before you know it, you also are prosperous. So sometimes we think that, oh, the backgrounds we come from don't have an effect on us. But you see, even when those backgrounds have an effect on us, when God has a plan and purpose for you, it will prevail even over those things. In case those things are bad, there is still a way, glory to God. God has made a way so that his purposes come to pass. Either you deal with them in the spirit, you pray about them, you get deliverance, you do what, but his purposes must prevail in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so today we are talking about still the same thing in another way. That you know what? The plans of God, the purposes, those great thoughts that he has concerning you and I are because he loves you. The Lord loves you. And today's sermon is just that. The Lord loves you. Mukama akwagala. You know, when you're getting born again, that is the catchphrase. That is how you were fished. Yeah? Someone comes and says, Mukama akwagala. Waolokoka di. Walokoka. It always starts with Mukama akwagala. And you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you get born again. But as time goes on, things happen in your salvation walk, and you start to say, Ne Mukama ochanjagala. And things you get to 5 years in salvation, and you are not even sure, because of the things that are happening in your life, if God still loves you. And when we talk about some of these things, I just wish that in churches, we would talk about the love of God a lot more. Because, you see, before you get born again, you're told, Mukama akwagala. You don't do anything. You didn't deserve his love. But then after you've gotten born again, somehow, for some time, it seems like you have to work to earn that love. Yeah? Yet, that is not the way it is. You can never, never earn the love of God. He loves you. Even the wickedest of people, he loves them. You know, God's judgment concerning things, and I've seen this over time, is very shocking sometimes. When you have written people off, maybe because someone is bad, wicked, deserves death, you feel like, God, why don't you just take them off the scene? Ate, for me, I do those things. Like, for people who I feel like this one is really disturbing the body of Christ, disturbing the country, God, ruachi. And guess what? The person stays, and there is a particular guy who I know is a witch doctor. He has a shrine for a church. From the time I was young, that guy I knew was never of, like, he wasn't a servant of God. And as I grew in salvation, I realized, yeah, it's actually like I got more information. I stamped as like, God, this one is not. Huh? And I would feel bad that in his shrine, he meets, like so many people come, go to his shrine. I have prayed for that guy, you people, eh? For God to do something. When I say do something, I'm just being kind. Because I'm a mother, my child is in here, but I can't say some of the things I pray for, eh? He will say, Mommy, how come, yeah? So I've prayed that God do something, take the person off the scene. Like, really, eh? So, and up to today, the person is still there. And I cannot even imagine that God loves, like, I'm like, God even loves that person. Like, even if they are doing whatever they are doing, God loves them. God is very, very slow to, he's very slow to anger because he wants people to repent. And even if for you, in your mind, in your natural, logical mind, you feel like this person is written off, let me tell you, when you check with God, you'll be very shocked at the judgment on that person. It doesn't mean that God doesn't judge sin, but he will love, he loves people. And he is not slow to judging them, but he doesn't want them to perish. And that is the love of God. That is the love for me and you. Like, it's so difficult to understand. And that is the same love I stand here to tell you about, that God loves you. He loves you so much. Glory to God. So, let us go to Jeremiah. We're going to look at the love of God and what it's like. Jeremiah 31:3. It says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. The Lord says he has loved you who is listening to me with an everlasting love, a love that has no expiry date. Even when you go to hell, he will still be loving you. And that's the truth. He will still be loving you. He will judge you, but he will still love you. Even in his judgment, he will be loving you. So it is an everlasting love. It is not love like for human beings. For us, our love is tricky, as we all know. Today, things feel different. Tomorrow, again, we feel different. The next day, like that. Sometimes the love just has an expiry date. But God says, with an everlasting love. Everlasting means forever, not so elity. With a forever love, he has loved you. He loved you at your best. He loved you at your worst. Glory to God. He loves you today in this present life. He loves you. And if you get this sorted as a foundation in your Christian walk, then you will be more stable. Glory to God. You will not be. One of the things that really plagues us is when we get through the difficult times, when we are walking through those very deep, dark days, the first thing that the devil will do is to hit at your perspective of God's love. He will come and tell you, my friend, God doesn't love you. And then he will give you all reasons why God doesn't love you. Maybe you sinned, maybe you messed up something. But then you forget that even when you had sinned, God, you were a sinner, like you were even the worst before you got born again. But God still loved you even then. So now the devil comes and tells you, you know, this is what you did. The Lord doesn't love you anymore. And before you know it, your salvation walk becomes shaky. And before you know it, you have said, for me, I am not on these things. Mukama feeling. Let us look at Lamentations 3:22-24. We're just looking at what the love of God is. In this version, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His love is not only everlasting, it's not only a forever love, it is steadfast, it is strong, it is sturdy. Okay, it can't be shaken. It cannot be shaken by your sin. So-and-so has sinned, so the love is shaken. No, it cannot be like that. The love of God is steadfast. And it never ceases. Again, it is forever. Yeah. And his mercies never come to an end. Meaning you can never exhaust the mercies of God. That is why it says they are new every morning. Every morning there is new mercy for you. Glory to God. And you see, what happens sometimes is, do you know, you reach a point in your life and you need the mercy of God to speak for you. You need the love of God to speak for you. There are things that money cannot give you. The mercies of God. The love of God. You go through a season in your life and you just say, Mukama, nescent, even money will not help me. For people like who lose loved ones, they have all the money in the world. But the money couldn't save the person's life. And you know what? We always pray that the love of God ministers to them. Glory to God. When someone is going through judgment, an unfair judgment, or you get to a point where you're like, may the mercies of God speak for you. All right? So there are things, when you look at, you know, when you look at the love of God, or when you look at this aspect of God, you realize that these are the things in the spirit. I wish for me I was prophetic enough, like Pastor, who I can go in the spirit and see what love looks like. Is he a person? What mercies like look like? Eh? There is a person who used to minister in LAT who had experiences where these attributes of God would show up as persons. Yeah, as like they had a construct of human, like human beings, or beings actually, let me call, not human beings, but they had a construct of being, a being called love, a being called mercy. Glory to God. Amen. When you're in dire straits, you find yourself appealing to the mercies of God. You're like, God, have mercy on me. Even children appeal to the mercies of God when they are caught doing something wrong. They say, God, they have done something wrong. And they know that they deserve to be punished. But they also go and say, but God, have mercy on me. Okay? May I not be given 10? Okay, 2. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes, so as we're talking about the plans of God, the plans of God for you, look at them. Do not divorce them from the character of God. That these plans of God, the great and mighty plans of God, are the foundation of his plans, are his love for you, his everlasting love for you, his steadfast love for you. Glory to God. Amen. The third thing is, I think it's the second, yeah? Thinking about the love of God, we can't talk about the love of God and we don't talk about the fatherhood of God. One of the ways that God shows us that he loves us is by telling us that he is our father. And when you look at God and look at his relationship with you, there is the love of God to his children, to the love of God to the creation that he made, to Adam and Eve. But there are times in the Bible when God is looked at as a father and we are looked at as sons and daughters or his children. And what comes out is a relationship between God the Father and his children, God who begot us his children. So I've seen like so many times, we're talking about the fatherhood of God last time, yeah? And I just kept on telling God, even when I think last Sunday we prayed about, Pastor prayed for the children to experience the love of a father, the love of God, to experience God as their father. And then I told him during the week that, but I also think that we adults, we need to also experience that. And then we had an opportunity to pray about it to pray in that area during the prayer meeting. By the way, I want to invite you guys who are not able to make it for the prayer meeting, please do. There are so many things that are shared in that meeting that are not shared here, and they're not even recorded anywhere. It is maybe once in a while when someone records something or we talk about it, but you will not find those things on our website. I was just thinking, is it time that we should start recording some of our sessions? Simanyi, yeah? But The point is, for now, if you can make it for the prayer meeting, please do. There are things which are shared. And if you are sure you can't give a testimony on Sunday, come on Thursday and talk. Come on Thursday and talk. I'll be standing right beside you to remind you of the time that we have to go home. But at least I'll give you a great opportunity to talk. Glory to God. So that when you come here, you start build your confidence from the Thursday prayer meeting. So that when you come here, things are different. Amen. So we talked about experience. We prayed about experiencing. We prayed. I told people on Thursday, please just talk to God. He is your Father. He loves you. Talk to Him. Inasmuch as all of us are called sons and daughters of God, the Father has relates to us differently. God doesn't relate to us as Kayola all the time, the corporate body, the corporate LAT. God the Father relates to you differently. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing? Because He relates to some people in a certain way. As you know, fathers, here you have your children. You cannot love them the same way. You will love them so immensely, but differently. Okay? You know how to get through to your son, this one, Kwezi. You know how to get through to Manzi. You know how to get through to your daughter. You know how to get through to Oria. You know. That bond between you as a father and your children is so individual. It is so unique for each one of them. And God invites us to that fellowship. So on Thursday, I told people, I can't tell you what to tell your Father in heaven. Talk to Him. Tell Him whatever you want. If you want to worship Him, worship. If you want to thank Him, thank. Just communicate with your Father. Have fellowship with Him. And I'm praying that it's continuous, that we just don't stop on Thursday. All right? So as I was going back home, as I reached home, so I told Sam whatever happened. I told Sam where I was coming from in the prayer meeting because he was here. Then he tells me something so interesting. He tells me something that his daughter told him. Daughters and fathers again. So he tells me, I was hustling Kwanzi. Get ready. What? Let's go to school. Get ready. So she comes down the stairs and she's ready to go. Then he's like, but wait, your hair is not what? It's not well done. And in their relationship, I don't even know how that happens, because if it was me, it would be different. But but daughter tells father, but daddy, do you know what it means to have hair? Do you know what it means? Because in her entire life, she has never seen her father with hair. She was born, yes, she's 10 years old. I was already married. We are 6 years into this. Then she comes and she meets this person who is her daddy, and he doesn't have hair. Eh? So she asked him, but do you know what it means to organize hair? Daddy, do you know? She said, what? Who? Then he's like, but so I told him, so what was your response? He said, I felt like laughing. I was like, God. He said, I felt like laughing, but I couldn't laugh. I'm like, if it was me, Lord have mercy. Eh? May the mercies of God continue to speak for me. So she can't tell me that, because for me, that kind of stuff. But Sam was like, actually. Then the mom thought about it. I'm like, but you know what? The girl is right, because she's never seen the hair. Yeah? For her, as in, and it was a genuine question of you hustling me. Yeah? But do you know what it means? She was coming from a genuine place of, please feel my pain. It's not always easy. Yeah? So God relates to us differently. So in your relationship with the Father, if you can ask Him such things, good for you. Hallelujah. If you can ask Him such things, good for you. There are people who I know who have had great relationships with their earthly fathers. Great. Awesome. That they are free to say anything in their Father's presence. Now, for me, talking about earthly fathers, I don't have that that experience. On the contrary, it is on the straight. Eh? You have to be on the thin and straight when Mzee is there. He calls you, you're there. He says what? Hey, yeah, you. It is. Those things are not there of asking, how do I ask my father? There is a time he spotted a what? Because now he has some gray hair and a bald head. So I don't know where he learns those things from. And he's old. So he spotted an O. And now, you know, an a beard, where they cut, Obanga, the beard is round like this. So I saw the thing. Well, I go to see him. And he's there seated, he's busy on his phone. I was so amazed by his O because it's all now gray. Do you know what I did? I got my phone, took some angle like this, zoomed him, and I took the picture. Other people would go like, daddy, what's up? Let's take a picture. Me, I can't do that. Yeah, I had to be in my corner like, so waited for him when he was looking like this down on his phone. I got my phone, put it at a vantage angle, zoomed, took the picture, and I sent my brother and said, you guys, work on this thing. Mzee is still cool with his own. So, but that is my relationship with my father. And I know that he loves me. Glory to God. But again, that is an earthly father. So just like the way we have individual relationships with our earthly fathers, it is the same with God. To the degree that we desire him, to the degree that, like, all those things, your character, your what, God will relate to you in that way. Hallelujah. But the invitation is there. Deep fellowship with the Father is all he wants. So that means that you can't partner your relationship with the Father after someone else's relationship. Bikulema, yeah? These things are very individual. Glory to God. They are very individual. So my point in all this is I'm just trying to say that you have an individual invitation to have fellowship with your Father. Hallelujah. And it's up to you. The depth you go to, it's all up to you. But God is there. Our Father God is there. He has opened his heart to you. The invitation is clear. Hallelujah. Amen. And we talked about calling. You know, you can call God the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, the Creator of heaven and earth. But the true test comes when things are tight. When things are tight, we just go and say, Father, help. That's in, there is no protocol. You say, Father, help. Just help me, Father. You don't say, Ancient of Days, help me. What? Those things, the Almighty God, Creator, help me. I need transport. That is how, like, that is the true test of your relationship with God. How you approach him when there is no script, when you're in the dire straits. And if you realize that you are not able to approach your Father without protocol, Father in heaven, without protocol, then there is a problem. One of the things that we, servants of God, make so complicated for the children of God is having an authentic relationship with their Father. We make it seem like it is so difficult. You have about to operate in which gift, what? You have to know the word, what? Like all those things are prerequisites for you to have fellowship with God. To a certain extent, yes, but not quite true. You should be able to go before your Father. When, of course, you know the word of God, when you know the word of your Father, when you are walking in righteousness, the better your relationship becomes. All fathers will tell you that there is a child, amwanguira. What is the English word for that? That there is a child who is too, like, I don't know what Dennis, you're the father here. Eh? what is that word where, like, umwana kwanguira, like that child who doesn't give you a hard time, easily approachable, takes obedience very, takutawa, doesn't give you pain in your head, you don't have to say many things. I know, but whether you want it or not, those things are there in the family. There is just that child who you're like, I want an instruction done. Who can I call? And you call the child who will easily get to you. Glory to God. And for your children who are here, don't, please, desire to be those children that we call immediately. When we're younger, because I grew up with boys, I've told you this before. My mother would call. So and so, the boys keep quiet. Yes, they keep quiet. But now they knew that she would reach a point and she says, whoever is there, come. Yeah? So they devised a way around it. Where now she would call and someone else answers. Like Sam, and then maybe Peter answers. And then Sam is like, but why have you answered? She's like, but if you don't answer, they are going to call me. So they started answering on each other's what? Like, yeah, I'm going to say. So you would call. Huh? My mom would call. Peter. Huh? Peter. The moment Peter keeps quiet and Richard here, she's going to call the second time. Before we know it, everyone will be summoned. He would answer, yes, yes, mommy. And then she's like, but that is not Peter. And she's like, you go, you have answered. I tell you, how can you refuse to go and you've answered? So Peter, who was called first, will be forced to actually go. Yeah? But the thing is, we shouldn't be like those children before God. Tuanguire mukama, hallelujah. Let us be the kind of children that our Father God, feels like if he has something to do, someone to wants to tell something, wants to just wait, let it be you. Glory to God. You can be like that. Let the earthly relationships, even if they are from the fallen world, let them teach us something about how to relate to our Father in heaven. If you're walking in righteousness and obedience, chances are that the Father in heaven will actually give you much more. He will call on you a lot more because he trusts that this child of mine will listen to me and he or she will do what I want them to do. And you see, for the things of God, you cannot answer for anybody that, oh, you, John, you have been called. No, you have to answer yourself. You can't play that game that my brother used to play. So the point is, let us desire to have this relationship with God get deeper and deeper and deeper as a father. Hallelujah. Amen. To the degree that you seek that, it is the degree that you will get it. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark 14, 35 to 36. When we are in dire straits, how do we call on the Lord? Let us see what Jesus did when he was in a very difficult time. It says, and he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. 36. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he just said, Abba, Father, help me here. Things are tight. Help me. Just take me through this period. So even as if Jesus Christ, called on his Father, and the word Abba means source, sustainer. It's a Greek translation of Father. And then it means source, sustainer, provider, And it's such an endearing word as well. So we should be able, in our difficult time, just like Jesus, he doesn't say, Father of lights, Ancient of days, Father of the universe. He was facing death, and he just said, Father, help me. Take this away from me. Hallelujah. So what does that teach us? It just simply says, when you're in that very difficult time, God is there. Your Father is there. He is listening. He is listening to your cry. He wants you to call on him. Your relationship with the Father should be an invitation to you all the time, every time. It should be an invitation to pursue God, to love him, to fellowship with him. Hallelujah. And if you ever wonder, because this is Mark, I used to wonder, when you read this account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you wonder, if you read it in Mark, you wonder, did God ever answer that prayer? Did he answer the prayer? If you think God answered, the Father, Abba Father answered the prayer, put up your hand. besides Pastor and Minister Sam. Hey, you guys, Pastor, turn and we see. We have, my God, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 people in LAT think that the Father answered the prayer. Alison, do you think the Father answered the prayer? He did. Eh? Let us go to Luke 22. And we get our answer from there. Luke's account says this. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then the Father answered. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Hallelujah. The Father answered the Son's cry. When you're in dire straits, Jesus didn't want money. Jesus didn't want a tap on the back. He needed to be strengthened, and he knew that God couldn't take away the cup of suffering. He just needed to be strengthened. And he called on his Father. He said, Father, help me. Just help me. And you know what? God sent an angel to strengthen his son. Isn't that wonderful? Which father of you here, if your daughter cried out to you, you wouldn't do something? You would die trying to reach out to your children. The Father reached out to his child and helped him. Hallelujah. That is amazing, isn't it? Isn't it? Amen. We all know the story of the prodigal son. Who, the younger son, asked for his mugabo, like what we call it, his inheritance. He was given his inheritance, went and squandered it. But you know what? Even at his worst, when the boy decided to return, his father ran and met him. Hallelujah. That is a true... You know, that story, the prodigal son's story, is used to illustrate many things. But one of the things for me that comes so easily to me is how the father loved the son. How the father didn't write him off. He didn't. He was, in fact, the Bible says that he met him when he was still far off. He met him and accepted him and made a huge party for him. That is the father's love for you. That even at your worst, when you have seemingly messed things up, when you call on him, he will answer. When you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, he will answer when you call on him. He will answer. That is his love for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the love of God for you. When you have sinned and you're at your very worst, he loves you. Even in the gutters of sin, he loves you. Hallelujah. That is a great thing. This is a very, like, obvious lesson, but we know many times we just have head knowledge of the Father's love. And that is why it's important for you to pray that you will experience the love of God. Because it is wide, it is high, it is deep. It has dimensions to it like you have never known. And if you desire it, he will show it to you. Hallelujah. To the degree you desire. This is one thing. You'll still get to heaven, by the way. But you can get to heaven when you do not know the depth of the Father's love for you. But you did everything on earth. You did well, you walked in righteousness. But if you don't desire it, you will still go to heaven, but you will have missed something here on earth. You will have missed out a lot. So let that be your prayer. I know of a certain gentleman who, this guy, is, the father's love is such a strong thing. He was like 30 something, and he went into alcoholism. This gentleman drinks. Or I could say he still drinks, but he drinks like a fish. He drank to the extent that the alcohol perforated his pancreas. By the time the alcohol does a number on your pancreas, just know that you have a brewery in there. Yeah? So, but of course, along with his alcoholism came many things. It became so difficult to live with his parents and whatnot. And these people, this couple have only 2 children, him and his sister. And the sister wasn't here, at least at that time. So the father got so, so stressed by his son. He's the firstborn. The father got so stressed by his son, got so disturbed because he was an actual problem child. The boy started dealing the father's property. Yeah, the guy is watching his car TV, but he doesn't know that his TV is security somewhere. He took a loan and put the TV. The guy is driving his car, but he doesn't know that someone is making payments on the car. Yeah? You know those children. Ngachisuse. So it got so, so bad. It was really bad that this guy said, you know what, the father of that boy said, you know what, I'm done. Me, I'm done with this child. If he dies, let him die. Yeah? There were many nights when the boy would never return home. Say, if he dies, let him die. Never now is even of age. Ata, when they call me, I won't even go to the hospital. Ata, I won't even bury him. What? The guy said so many things. And we all knew that he has really and sincerely written his son off. Then the problem with the pancreas started escalating. So it got to a point where now he needed medical attention. Guess what? We went to, now he, the boy gets hospitalized and we go to hospital to see him. It was amazing. Do you know who was welcoming us? The father. He was there saying, Banango mwana wanje, mwana wanje. And I'm like, but is this the guy who said he has written his son off? It had become so bad that when he would come, he would say, the father would say, I say, if he comes back home late, I'm not going to open for him. He will have to use the window to enter this house. I am the father in this house. I am the man in this house. We cannot be two heads in this house. Tutukwasa, you know? Banyankole meant, tutukwasa, we cannot. That nonsense, I cannot take it. Do you know, the guy would come back in his drunken stupor. He knocks, pa, 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 on the door. Like three. This guy wakes up, because now the mother at that time is like, for me, I've charged your son for you. Bambi, the guy wakes up, he goes and opens. And this guy, in his drunken state, he just says, biguza. Yeah? You know, like, get away, like, move or move. Ah, man, and the guy will just move like this, and this guy just enters. And then he makes a call the following morning. He came back. He came back at three. He told me to move, and I moved. And I'm like, you see, that is a father's what? That is a father's love. Now if he gives up on his son, where will the son get help from? Okay? So there are the things that we say, that for me, if my child does this, I will do this. But when it actually happens, you're like, man, me, I'm going to die with my child. So this guy, who comes, he's drunk, he says, now the father is there because he's big. He's standing in the what? In the doorway. He says, move, move. And the guy just goes like this. And the son passes and he enters and he goes and he sleeps. You people, the only thing you can say about this man is that even when he's so angry and disappointed and distressed, he loves his son. Now, how much more the Father in heaven for you? How much more the Father in heaven for you and I? Hallelujah. It is such a wonderful thing. Yeah? So this guy, the father was there. Can you imagine? The man started crying tears. That uncle of his was crying tears and tears. And yeah, that is a father's love. Hallelujah. There is also another father I know. Talking about the father's love. There is another father I know who had so many, a gentleman, he had so many wives. But what he would do, he had so many wives and then many children. So he would get his children and put them in one home with one wife to look after them. This man was by no means, he is the perfect example of a husband you should not admire to have. The way you, man, that guy, even up to now, when I think about him, I'm like, Banang, it was too tight. Imagine someone has all those, like, we are talking over six, and he has so many children, that even right now, and he's still at it, by the way, he's still going strong. That his last child The last one he shared with somewhere else is the age. He's like about like 6 years old. Yeah? But this guy, he's a father of a friend of mine. But this man, I don't even know how the two can coexist in a human being, that he actually loves his children. And I don't know, don't ask me, I don't know how it can happen. He's not born again, but for me, according to me, the man loves his children. So recently, one of his daughters was going through a very difficult time. Do you know who was there? The father. That man. And the daughter has such a special relationship with him that when we were somewhere, we were in an office waiting for him to come, that father to come. So he came in. I was here, then my friend was here, then her mother was seated there. The moment the guy opened the door, we're talking, now we're just having conversation, the three of us. The moment the guy walked in like this, do you know what the girl did? Conversation ended. I saw my friend jump off the chair. She went to see her father. What? They hugged. What? I'm like, man, she knows something I do not know. That even when he does all these things, she still loves and respects him. May that be a lesson to us, eh? You don't respect people because they deserve their respect. But you know the guy, he's always there for her. I've seen that gentleman with his daughter in the best times, in the worst times. He is every time she gives birth. Can you imagine the guy is there with his things? This is someone who has, you know who is, yeah? I don't even, you people, for me that love of the father just beat my understanding. And it doesn't, it just teaches me one thing, that you must, if you desire the relationship with God, pursue it. This is a human being who has all those shortcomings, but is able to be there for his child uncompromisingly. He brings all the other children into maybe the seventh wife's home, because even my friend didn't grow up with her real mom. As in, he's that kind of person. You've had my child, come. Boom, he puts, you've had my child, come. I'm going to look after my what? My children. So she didn't have the opportunity to grow up with her mother. Why? Because the gentleman took her dad, that dad took her from her mom at a certain age, brought her to where he was in that home to look after her. And guess what? He has more girls than boys. So all those girls in that home know that daddy loves us. Regardless of his shortcomings, daddy loves us. When he gets a microphone to speak, you can think he has one wife. You can think he's the best. He speaks, man, do not, what? I remember going for the wedding. He was there warning the man, you, if I find you on my daughter, what? Hey, man, I was like, hey. You people. He was there warning the way, eh? You had better not touch my daughter. You see, my daughter here doesn't dig. Yeah? But this is someone who, man. My daughter doesn't dig. You see, she went to university. She got a second upper. Her hands had better be the same way I've given them to her. Oh, man. The guy said things. I was like, ay, ay, ay. Like, by the time we left, even on the introduction, everyone was just shaking, saying, now that girl is untouchable. That girl, you cannot touch her. You can't touch her. So when she got problems later on in life, in her marriage, she kept on referring, she kept on telling the guy, you go and see my father. Up to now, the guy hasn't stepped there. And for him, he has one wife. You go and see my father. She would say, the guy would say, no. What has your father got to tell me? So, are you go and see him. You go and see him. You go, if you really think I'm, but you go and see him. And then he'll be there, but your father has many wives. What? I'm saying, okay, I understand that, but you go and see him. Wah! Because the man said, should you ever touch my daughter, you will see me. That is a father's love. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great love? As twisted as it is. It is the love of a father. So the other thing is that our Father God gives us good gifts. In his plans, in his thoughts towards you, He gives good gifts. The Lord gives good gifts. His gifts are not just, that is people, eh? When you read the Bible, you're forced to calm down. The gifts of God, like, you cannot kujoga, disrespect what God has given you. When George came here and started saying those things, I was like, yeah, you cannot say this is too small. Like, God's gifts are good. If it is a car and he has given it to you and you know it came from the Father, it is good. Hallelujah. If it is that wife and you know she came from the Father, she is what? Good. Yeah, she's good. Hallelujah. If it is that husband and you know he came from the Father, God doesn't give anything bad. Start, like, when you're reading, just sit and say, what have I been saying is bad in my life? Or what did I start out saying was good and now I'm saying is bad? When you read this and you're like, if it came from the Father, it is good. James 1:17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Here the Bible tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It doesn't say it is from some mythological being up there, like what they say in The Secret. The book, The Secret, when you have a desire, pray to the universe, leave it, surrender it to the universe. No, our Bible is clear here because God knew that people like that would come. He says, no. It comes down from the Father of lights. It comes down from your Father, not some mythical being, not some what. And then it's amazing that it doesn't say it comes down from the creator of the universe, from the ancient of days, from the almighty holy God. No, it comes down from the Father of lights. So this in here shows us the giving nature of God and the kinds of things that he gives, that they are good and they are perfect. Hallelujah. Whatever gift you have, whatever gift, even if it's a job. You know that work is a gift. Work is a privilege. So even your job, it's a gift from the Lord. It is a gift from your Father. Hallelujah. Amen. So treat it, value it, and treat it as such. 1 John 3:1. One of the biggest gifts that God gave us as a father is his son. Hello? Glory to God. It's his son, Jesus Christ. So whatever you have now, nothing can trump the gift of the Father who is his begotten son. Yeah, it says that, behold what manner of love. No, it is not this. Take me to John 3:16. There's a time someone did know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you so much that he sent you, his son, to die for you at your very worst. You didn't even ask. I didn't ask. But Jesus Christ came, died for us. It was God's gift to us. Jesus Christ. So whatever gift you have now, nothing, whatever promise, my son Kwezi, never promise that you will give anyone such things, eh? Because you can't. Even with your promises, you have a limit. God has already outdone any giver or any man here, or any woman, or any father. God has already outdone you. He sent his only begotten son to die for you on the cross. Amen. Romans 6:23. The love of the Father, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. And that eternal life comes through who? The Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is amazing. What a wonderful gift. How many gifts produce eternal life that you know about? Well, for me, I don't. All right? For me, I don't. So, you know that your Father loves you. He loves you, and his love for you is steadfast. It's forever, forever, forever love. Yeah? And that love is demonstrated by him giving good gifts. The greatest gift the Lord has given us as a father is his son, Jesus Christ. This sounds so much like Sunday school, but that is what the word says. You need to hear these things. We need to hear them. Luke 10:22. For us who desire inelity to know God as the Father, for those who are praying on Thursday, to know God as the Father, here is the starting point. Here is the cue for us. Jesus said that all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus Christ in this verse says, he reveals the Father. He's a representation of the Father. That relationship I am telling us to have, that relationship I'm encouraging us, fellowship to pursue, the key to it is Jesus Christ. And for as long as you're born again, that is 10, it's like 10 kilometers into this fellowship, because that is already sorted. You're already born again. So you can actually have a deeper relationship. God doesn't want you to stay at that relationship of Jesus. I was saved by Jesus. No, there is much more to that fellowship. It can get deeper and deeper. As you grow up, fathers who are here, when there are things you cannot tell your child because they are still young. So equate it to someone who has just gotten born again. There are things you cannot discuss with that child. But as the child grows, the relationship becomes deeper. Hallelujah. The relationship grows. It becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. Hallelujah. So that is what God wants us to do, that we desire this relationship, that we desire this fellowship with him, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That he starts to trust you with things that, you know, at a certain level, because it's like, I know Minister so-and-so. If I want to say who is the new president, who do I tell my secret? Who do I share my plans with? He should be able to come to Minister X and say, you know what, Minister Jed, this is what is going to happen. You watch this space and see. And now that you have this information, this is what I expect you to do. This is the strategy. That is the relationship. It's relationship. Many times we say that, oh, when you get born again, it's an invitation not into religion, but relationship. Yeah? But relationship with who? With God the Father. Hallelujah. So let us desire to love God, to get into this relationship. And I hope that when the love of God ministers to you, you will love him back. It's almost like an effect. It just like cause effect. It just happens. When you receive the love of God and you understand it, you will inevitably find yourself loving him back. Hallelujah. Amen. So, before we leave today, this is what my parting shot, that Kawana I learned also. My parting shot is expect good from your father. Expect good from him. Don't expect bad. Expect good. Oh, and how can I forget to share my... Matthew 7:9-11. This verse ministered to me, and I'm many years into salvation, but it ministered to me last week like it has never ministered to me before. Oh, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God has good plans for you. And he has, among those plans, is his ability to exercise his giving nature. And you know what? The things that God gives are good. You will not ask for a bread and he gives you a stone. Whatever you ask for that is in the will of the Father, it will come. Hallelujah. It will come. Tukakane. It will come. Be calm. Be at peace. Dabanyankolo, who are here, I can't forget you. Muhumure, eh? Like, be at peace, eh? Be at peace, be at rest. Hallelujah. If you're anxious over something, God, I asked you, will it come? Will it come? And if it comes, will it be the thing that I asked you for? God doesn't play funny jokes. But you ask me for this, then I give you something else. There are things that I know my children, they have told me for a fact that they find daddy easier to hang out with. And I don't blame them. Yeah, they say, daddy, for us, we want to go out with daddy. Me, when I'm going alone, when I'm going out, mommy, bye, bye. When are you coming back? Mommy, bye. Can you watch TV? Yeah. But when daddy gets his shoes and they hear the keys, daddy, can I go with you? Daddy, can I? Daddy, don't leave me. Daddy, eh? But for me, bye, mommy. What time are you coming? I'm like, Katibambala. What time are you coming back? Eh? So should we wait? Should we watch TV? But when that daddy's leaving, daddy, I want to go with you. I'm not trying to say that they don't want to go with me. Bambi, now they are growing. And sometimes they say, okay, me, I will sit in the car with you. You know, when we are driving separate cars and we have to live with the children, this is the truth. And I'm not a bad mother. This is the truth, yeah? That they like to go with their dad over me. And why? The reasons are very simple. That in daddy's car, there is mubimba, yeah? There is music. Then over he puts for them their songs. Then he engages them in conversation. Now for me, on the other hand, I want silence in the car. I don't want my heart to be, you know that music in... First of all, I don't even know how Sam does it. The car thing is, the car is small. The speaker is like this one in the boot. Man, then you're driving and the whole car, boom, boom, boom. So there is a... When Sam is coming home, you hear him from the first corner, those end. And then I ask my husband, oh, tunda tape. Ooh, because I'm like, how do you stay in this? Huh? But the children... Huh? Stay with me. The children are not on my things. They want to be in their father's car. The car was his light. Is what nobody's telling them. You guys, when you grow up, wow, nobody's preaching at them. What? Like, yeah, have you seen this? Daddy, the dogs. Now for me, my care be about the dogs is limited. Daddy, the dogs. Daddy, what? What? So they're like, so there is a time at Bambi, we're leaving home, separate cars, and all the children went to their father's car. Then my son, Kwezi, thank you, is my backup plan. My son, Kwezi, said, okay, mommy, let me come with you. Then, mommy, look, okay, it's okay, it's Kawa, me, I can come with you. But this is after he had noticed that, and it's me who had asked the question, so who is going with me? And let me tell you that we are going with daddy was so natural. Eh? We are going with daddy. But then after he sees, he's like, okay, let me come with you. Me, I don't care. Now he's telling his sibling, me, I don't care. I'll go with mommy. And I could see he really cared every single bit. But when he reached the car, I allowed him to put the radio on there. So do you want the radio? So do you want the CD? Which song? I also tried. Yeah? But by the time we reached where we were going, my heart and two nose, I was like, man, I don't want. I was like, I just couldn't wait. But the point is a father's love. You guys are laughing at these things. But I know my children love me. I love them. But Sam is their father. Sam is their father. Yeah? And I am their mother. And we are different. And even when all of them are like that, like I said, he has special individual relationships with each one of them, just like I do. But at the end of the day, he is their what? He's their father. A father's love. Yeah. So as you go today, know that God wants good things for you. Your father wants good things for you. And those things he will give them to you. When you ask according to his will, he will give you good and perfect gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm grateful that even me, I'm an auntie to many children. So sometimes when they want to leave me, I have backup. They are Grace Joy. Eden, they will say, we want to go with Auntie Joe. And I'm like, yeah, peace. And when we are in our car, there is no music, crazy. We are kawa. So, guys, God loves you so much. And he has good things and plans and thoughts for you. And the gifts he wants to give you or the gifts he gives are good and they are perfect. Expect them. Expect them. Hallelujah. That when you're asking your father, don't have protocol. Don't be the, yeah, now God, you see. Don't try to convince him about why you need something. You can talk to him as, you know, just having kabozi. But it shouldn't be to persuade the father to give you a spouse. No, that is not how it is. To persuade the father to give you money. There are times when man, your children ask you for things. And you're like, what? I've been asked for what? Say, there's no protocol. Daddy, why I want this? And you're like, this child, of all things you can ask me for, this is what, but there is no protocol for him. You just come and say, Daddy, can we go out? About what? Can we do this and this? The things that, because children are like that with their parents, they'll ask you for anything. You ask a child, what do you want for your birthday? They'll say, unicorn. And you're like, hey, what? A unicorn. What kind of birthday do you want to have? I want to have about what? Can angels, like some children in their mind, can we have something that has angels on it? And you're like, I wish you just knew that for me, that I don't operate like that. But, you know, angels, about what? I want something like this. That time I was designing Kwanzi's bedroom, think about how to make it and what. Man, when I asked the girl, what do you want? My God. She painted for me a picture that only God the Father can give her. I want this over this. Can we also put this? Can we put this? Can we, for her? I'm like, but don't you see that I have a limitation? But for her, she's like, me, I want this, 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 that. That is how you should be with your father. He's not limited like our earthly fathers. So when you go before God, if you know who he is and how much he loves you, you'll be lavish in your requests for things. Don't say, God, don't, me, I want a small car. Anywhere you see, I stay. Over where, what? Just tell God, I want a good car. That's it. I want a good car. Let him sort it out. Glory to God. Say, me, I want this. Just tell God, I want a nice car. What's wrong with wanting a nice car? Just say, God, I want a nice car. The nice car that 120 million. How am I going to? I want a plot. Oh, I want to build the house. I want to build 1 billion. You start counting things for your father in heaven. It doesn't work like that. You can count for your husband. You can count for your wife. You can count for your earthly father. But God is unlimited. And you don't think that when you ask him for big things, you have shocked him. They are in his plan for you. Glory to God. They are there. He has them in plan for you. Don't think we are so say, us, we asked already and were given. Glory to God. We asked and were given. So don't think that this thing that you're asking for, first of all, it is the first time you'll be giving out a thing like that. If you ask for Kololo, a house in Kololo, do you think that your father in heaven, you'll be the first person who's giving that thing? No. He has given those, some of them, God is just giving. Some people who are there and maybe they are Christians and what. God has already given them those places. So, expect good. That is very important. Expect good, 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 good from your Father. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.